Grace to you and peace in the name of our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. One of my favorite passages to discuss with couples who are preparing to get married is Genesis chapter 2, verse 25. It states this: "The man and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame." It's a very overlooked passage and a very minimally understood passage. In fact, it is so overlooked that even in our Lutheran agenda, that's the book that we pastors use to perform rites of the church, things such as baptisms or burials or confirmations or ordinations, installations, and yes, marriages. The text that is recorded there in that book to read at weddings ends at verse 24, which is this: "For this reason, a man shall leave his father and his mother and be united with his wife, and they will become one flesh." Our Lutheran agenda completely leaves out verse 25, which is the last verse of that chapter, and the concluding thought of that chapter. And dare I say, it is one of the most significant points of the chapter. To understand marriage in any context that goes beyond the simple one flesh union of a man and a woman, a person needs to understand the significance of being naked and not ashamed. It's hard for us to imagine any context where that could possibly be true, because for us, nakedness and shame go hand in hand. Every day we are reminded what perfect men and women look like as their airbrushed, photoshopped bodies are shoved down our throats on billboards, magazine covers, social media sites, and such. And all of it reminds us how imperfect each of our bodies are. I've known some folks who are so ashamed of what they look like that they don't even want other people to ever take their picture. There's some couples who will not even let their spouse see them naked. And they don't even want to look at themselves in the mirror naked. And that's just the nakedness of our bodies. It gets even worse when we start talking about the nakedness of our hearts or of our minds. We've each got so much stuff going on in here and in here that we don't want anyone to know about any of this stuff in us. Oftentimes, not even our spouse. And why? Because we're ashamed. Ashamed of the things that we thought. Ashamed of the things that we've felt. Ashamed of things that we've said. Ashamed of things that we've done. We are ashamed of our imperfections. And we don't really want them to be exposed to other people. And most of the time, we're pretty good about hiding our imperfections under loose-fitting clothing, under tender-hearted smiles. Most folks who know us don't really know how imperfect we are. And they would be shocked to see us without all of our coverings. both of body and of mind. But we cannot hide ourselves from God. He sees us as we are, naked and ashamed. No sooner had Adam fallen into sin than he tried to hide himself from God. But God found him in the nakedness of his sin, and Adam was ashamed. His imperfections were suddenly visible to himself and to God. And that's still true for each of us today. Hebrews chapter 4 states this: nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him to whom we must give account. We can't hide our imperfections from God. He sees them all. Every ounce of cellulite, every mole, every wrinkle, every zit, every unkind word, every selfish thought, every unattractive attitude. It's all laid bare before Him. And no amount of clothing or cover-up or emotional facade can hide our nakedness from Him. Oh, except one. That's right. The robe of Jesus' righteousness. That is the only piece of clothing that can hide our nakedness from God, because it is the only piece of clothing that can hide our sin from God. When Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden and they realized they were naked, they covered up their nakedness with fig leaves. It wasn't much, but it was better than nothing. But as God prepared to banish them from the garden, He clothed them with something more substantial, something more permanent to cover them and to protect them. He covered them with garments made from skin. Likewise, in order to prepare us for what comes next, after this world, after this life, God has also clothed us. Listen again to the words from Isaiah 61. I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God, for He has clothed me with garments of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of righteousness. Because of the death and resurrection of Jesus, God has covered us with Jesus' blood-bought forgiveness. He took on the shame of our sin and covered us with His own robe of righteousness. Thus, when God looks at us, He no longer sees our nakedness and our sin. Rather, He only sees the righteousness of His Son. And so for us, that robe of righteousness has become our garment of salvation, that through which God has opened eternity to us. I saw a shirt one day that had written on it, I'm naked underneath my clothing. We all are, aren't we? And though we try to hide our nakedness from each other, we cannot hide it from God. Like Superman with his X-ray vision, God sees through our clothes and our masks and our cheery disposition. And He knows the real condition of our hearts, that we are lost and condemned sinners, full of shame and full of guilt. But by His grace for Jesus' sake, He clothes us with the garments of salvation. He puts on us Jesus' robe of righteousness. He makes it so the shame of our nakedness can never and will never be seen again. May we thus each live in the comfort of that assurance that because of Jesus' death and resurrection, we will never again have to hide from God naked or ashamed. In the name of Jesus Christ, our living Lord and Savior, amen.